Well, let us come before the Lord in prayer before we hear from God's word. Oh, our God and our Father, we come now to a time of hearing from the scripture. We do ask that you would speak to us, that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear what you say to us. And Lord, as we look at your power over death, we pray that today you would remind us of your love and your grace, that you'd remind us of your power, and that, Lord, we would love you, that we would trust in you, that we would come to you as the only Saviour. Lord, we ask that you do all these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, it has been said that there are only two things that are certain in life: death and taxes. Now, we like to say that as if it's a mantra and if it's true, but the reality is it isn't. People can often get out of taxes. They can get good accountants, good lawyers, and they can find loopholes. That means they don't pay tax. But it doesn't matter how good you are or what you do, you will never be able to escape the second reality, the reality of death. See, we can try and do many things in these lives to try and extend our life, to try and make ourselves younger and to live forever. But the reality is that eventually the grim reaper will grab all of us. He will seize all of us. Now, I know it's a morbid subject to think upon death, but it is very important that we consider the fact that we will all go to death one day. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says it is better to go to a house of mourning. That is, better to go and think about death than to go and think about celebrations. Because we will all eventually die. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, why do we die? And what happens after we die? And this morning, as we think about this very morbid subject of death, I want to draw your attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take you to the Gospel of Mark, which is the biography of Jesus. And I want us to look at the true story of how Jesus dealt with death and a man named Jairus, who was a Jewish leader. In the passage we read earlier from Mark chapter 5, we see a scene being set. We see that the Lord Jesus has been busy ministering and preaching and doing all kinds of signs and wonders. He has performed miracles. And as a result, crowds of people have gathered around to hear him speak. And as he ministers, as he proclaims, it was clear that no one was ever like Jesus. No one spoke with authority as he did. And as Jesus went through the course of his ministry, as he preached the word of God, as he performed miracles, we are told that this man named Jairus from the Jewish synagogue came rushing up to him. Jesus is preaching, and here comes a man who is distraught, a man who is concerned over his daughter, who at that stage was very unwell and at the point of death. Now, Jairus, being a Jewish leader, would have heard about Jesus. He would have heard the rumors that were circulating around the community. Have you heard about this miracle worker? Have you heard about this one that can heal the sick? Have you heard about this one that the people say is the Messiah? Now, Jairus heard all of that. And when he saw that his daughter was unwell, he decided to go to Christ, to go to Jesus, looking for a solution, looking for hope. Upon finding Jesus, Jairus falls down at the feet of Christ. And he simply says to him, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live." I mean, there's the pleading of a father. Lord, my daughter, the one I love, she is unwell, she is about to die. You alone are my hope. Will you come? Will you come and lay your hands on my daughter so that she may live? And Jesus hears the pleading of this man, and Christ loves Jairus. Christ loves the sick little girl. So Jesus leaves the crowd and he begins the journey back to Jairus' home. And as he does so, as Jesus and Jairus and the disciples all make their way to his home, they are met by a servant who comes running out to greet them. The servant rushes up and says to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? I mean, what a shocking news to get. The world of Jairus must have come crashing down at that moment. I have three children. I can't imagine getting that news. terrible to hear. His daughter, his precious little girl was gone. I mean, what heartbreak must have gripped him at that moment? What trauma must have come upon him? Grief would have been deeply flowing from deep within him. But how does Jesus respond? Jesus heard the statement as well. And he turns to Jairus and simply says, "Do not be afraid. Only believe." See, the Lord Jesus is about to do something tremendous. He is about to work. He is about to perform a miracle that shows that he has power over death, that he is the one who can give life, and that he is the one who says that death does not have to be the end for all those who believe. So Jairus, Jesus, and some of the disciples, three of the disciples, continue on their journey up into the home where this little girl laid dead. And upon arriving at the house, there was a crowd of people gathered there, professional mourners, who were weeping and wailing and carrying on outside of the home. It was the custom to have the whole village come out and mourn for the death of a child. And Jesus sees this crowd. He sees all that they're going through. He sees that they mourn without hope. And he simply says to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." See, Christ is making a point here. He's saying to the crowd that the current state of this little girl is only temporal. She will arise again. But instead of believing him, the crowd turns at Jesus and they go from weeping, they go from mourning for this girl to mocking him. They ridicule him. They look at him and say, "What does this fool know? The girl is dead." That is, except for Jairus and the mother of the child. So Jesus takes the crowd and he tells them to clear off. He ushers them away and he takes Jairus, the mother, and the three disciples, and he goes into the room where this child was lying. And as they approach the girl who is now dead, he takes her hand, he holds her hand, and Jesus says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Imagine the suspense in the room at that moment. Here is a man who is known for signs and wonders and miracles. Here is a man who speaks with authority. No one speaks and teaches like Jesus. Imagine the suspense as he takes the limp hand of the corpse and says, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Well, the Bible says immediately, the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. I think that's the understatement of the year award. This little girl who is dead just got given life by the Lord Jesus. And it just says, and they were overcome with great amazement. It would have been tremendous to see. It would have been wonderful to see. Jesus has power over death. Now the question for us is, what can we learn today out of this true historical account? What can we learn as we look at the teaching of Jesus, the example of Christ? Well, what we learn is this: Jesus loves people. Jesus cares for people. This little girl is unknown by the world. We don't know who she is. We don't know her name. Even the writer of Mark's Gospel doesn't tell us the name of this little girl. But even though she may be a nobody by the world standard, she is known by Jesus and she is loved by Jesus. And that tells us that even though we might not be famous, even though the world may not even know we exist, we are known by the God who made us. He knows all about us and he dearly loves us. But as we look at this true story, we also see a reality that we one day will face. This little girl died. And the truth of the matter is, we will all die one day. Every single one of us will one day die. We will be physically dead. But there's also another truth here that we often can miss. Even though at the moment we are not physically dead, well, at least I hope you're not this morning, because that would be kind of awkward preaching if there's a bunch of stiffs sitting in seats. See, we're not dead this morning physically, But the reality is this, we are all dead spiritually. So the Bible talks about death in three different ways. You have physical death, you have spiritual death, and then you have eternal death in hell. And the reality is all of us are dead spiritually. That is, because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God, we are cut off from the source of life. We are cut off from the source of spiritual life, God himself. Our sin chooses to separate ourselves from God. And because of that sin, we are spiritually dead. And if we continue in that state of spiritual deadness, we will face the grim reality of eternal death in hell. And that's what the Bible teaches. And that's very bad news for us. But there is good news. God loves sinners. Jesus loves people. We see that by Christ coming to this little girl and raising her from the dead. We see that Jesus loves people because he comes to you and I, and he offers you and I spiritual life. He offers us new life. And the way Christ does this is by going to the cross and taking the punishment that sin demanded. Our sin says death. But Jesus Christ loves sinners. He went to the cross and he dies in the place of sinful people. He is crucified, dead and buried. He is in the grave. He is fully dead, condemned in our place. But then Jesus shows that he has power over death because 3 days later he rises again from the dead, defeating sin and death. And now because Jesus has done all that, because he has died and risen again, he can say to you and I, you can be forgiven. You can be made brand new. You can have your sins removed and you can be given life. Jesus says, I can give you heaven when you die, not because you are somehow good enough, none of us are, but because he loves us and he has come to rescue us. And now he says to you, if you would trust in me, if you turn from your sin, then you will have life everlasting. As we close this morning, a question that we have to answer for ourselves is this. How will we respond to the life-giving Jesus? How will you and I respond to what Jesus has said, what he has taught, and what he has done? In reality, there's two ways to respond. And we see both of those ways in the true story that we read this morning. You have the response of Jairus, who sees Jesus. And he comes to him in humility and belief and trust in the Savior. Or you have the mourners. They see Jesus. They know about him. But they mock him. They ridicule him. They reject him. They do not trust in him. There's two responses there, and the question is, how will you respond? How will you respond to Jesus and the fact that he has power over death? Today, I urge you to be like Jairus. Come to Jesus in humble belief, turning from your sins and trusting only in him. If you do that, you'll be freely given spiritual life. You will be given forgiveness of sins, and you will be assured of heaven when you die. Not because you are good, but because Jesus is good. But if you do not come to Jesus, then let me be perfectly blunt and straight with you. If you do not come to Christ in repentance and faith, then the Bible says you will end up in hell. And I don't say that to be mean and to be harsh. I say it because I love you, and I don't want you to go there. I want you to come and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, what will you do with Christ? Would you come to him for life and forgiveness? Would you be like Jairus and come to him by faith? Or would you reject? I do not think that being religious or being moral or being good will somehow earn your way to heaven. It won't. Only Jesus can give life. Only Christ can forgive sins. So come to him this morning, trusting only in him. Let's pray together, shall we? Oh, our God and our Father, we thank you for the scripture where we can be told of what Christ has done and what he teaches. Lord, this morning we are reminded that Jesus has power over death, that he's able to rescue us from spiritual death and also eternal death. Lord, may we be reminded of Christ crucified this day. And may we look to him, may we all trust in him, and cling to him. For those who do not know the Lord Jesus this morning, I pray that you would give them no rest and no peace until they come and cry out to the Lord Jesus in faith, asking him to rescue them. Oh Lord, we pray you do these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.